Someone said that no nation is ever greater than its mothers, because they are the makers of the next generation. Happy Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day. Now let's acknowledge this. Mother's Day can be a difficult day for some women for a variety of reasons. Some people don't like Mother's Day because they wanted to have a child and were never able to have a child. Let me say this. Women, you have great worth in the sight of God, whether you have had a baby or not. So rejoice in that. We love you, all of you women, most of you anyway. Lift up your heads and rejoice in the Lord, women. God loves you for just who you are. And you know what? There are some mothers in this world who probably wish that they had never had children. And there are plenty of mothers in this world who do not like Mother's Day. One of them was Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush said, "Mother's Day is a big ripoff." Sounds just like her, doesn't it? A little boy woke his mother up one Mother's Day very early. And he said, "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a card." And she rubbed the sleep out of her eyes and she smiled and she pushed herself up on the pillow. And she said, "Thank you, sweetie." And on the front of the card, he had drawn a yellow flower, bright yellow flower, very cheery. And she said, "Oh, that's so pretty." And she opened it up and he had written her a poem. And this is what it said. "I was going to buy a card of hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small, so I guess you're plenty lucky that I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. There, I've said it. Now it's done. How about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son?" There are some wonderful stories in the Bible about godly women who changed the world through their mothering. And some of them actually did it by giving up their babies. One of them was Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Think about that. What if Jochebed had not put that baby into that basket and floated little Moses down the Nile River and sent him on the way to Pharaoh? And another one was Hannah. We examined Hannah in an earlier sermon in the ROTC series, or Revealing Old Testament Characters. But I want to revisit Hannah today because her story is very appropriate for Mother's Day. We read about Hannah in 1 Samuel, and she was one of two wives of Elkanah. Now, polygamy was not God's design, but it became a cultural norm in biblical days. And some guys have said that Elkanah got exactly what he deserved, two mothers-in-law. The men liked that one better than the women. Elkanah loved Hannah. He loved both of his wives, but he loved Hannah deeply. He loved her even more. Hannah was barren. Now, in biblical days, a woman had two primary duties. One of them was to have babies, and the other one was to cook. And a Jewish man could divorce his wife if she just burned his dinner. That's no joke. That's true. He could have done that. How much more could he have divorced her if she could not have babies for him? Elkanah's other wife gave him sons and daughters. But he loved Hannah even more. And the only reason that we're given in the Bible is because her womb was closed. Even for her faults, she was loved more. Just the way God loves you. Faults and all. Now, because of her condition, we're told that Hannah cried a lot. Women, have you ever wept? What a stupid question that is. Yeah, right. The New York Post published this. They said that women cry on the average of 4,680 times over their adult life. They cry sad tears. They cry happy tears. 64% of women admit that they sometimes cry for no reason at all. Go figure. I don't get it. We read in 1 Samuel that Hannah cried so hard that she could not even eat. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it's in verse 8. Elkanah, her husband, would say to Hannah, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Women, we men love you even more because of your tears. Because we know that your tears are connected to your heart. And we love your heart. And it moves us when you cry. And listen to this. God sees when you cry too. And it moves him. So keep on crying. It's okay. Now in the 11th verse, we read a truly profound act on Hannah's part. She made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of her life." His life. Hannah's example was to pray. Hannah's example was to worship. And Hannah's example was to offer an offering that required a sacrifice. What a great example for us to pray, to worship, and to be willing to sacrifice. How many of us have what it takes to pray the way Hannah prayed? Now listen to this, beginning in verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, she was persistent in her prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 18. Pray continually. That's what God's word says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many times have you heard testimonies of a woman praying for her children, praying for her grandchildren, praying for her great-grandchildren, and then hear how later in life her prayers were answered over and over and over? How many of us have what it takes to pray that way? And I love this next part. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli, by the way, was the priest that Elkanah and Hannah had gone to visit on a pilgrimage of worship and sacrifice. And Eli, the priest, observed Hannah praying, but he did not at first understand what was going on. Listen to what happened. Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Hannah prayed visibly. Her prayers were so visible that other people could see her praying. How many of us are willing to pray like that? You know, Hannah was a woman with a real problem. Sometimes we think of the heroes and the heroines of the Bible as being people who don't have problems. And of course, that's not true. They're people just like we are. They're people with great problems. And God gives us their stories. He gives us their examples. He gives us their testimonies to be instructive to us. Just as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Amen. God gave us Hannah's example in part to tell us that even in anguish and in grief or in loss or in anger, we need to pray. I need thee every hour. We need to pray. And we need to open the dam of our souls and pour out the waters of our fears, our concerns, our wants, our hopes, our dreams, our faith. How many of us have what it takes? Verse 17, Eli the priest answered Hannah, "Go in peace. Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." What wonderful words. What positive, encouraging words for her. It's a testimony to the greatness of God. And that encouraged Hannah. That encouraged her big time. It says in the next verse that her face was no longer downcast. When I get grumpy, my face looks grumpy. And yours does too. Hannah's face was grumpy. But Eli's blessing turned it into a smile. It wasn't a smile of amusement. It was a smile of relief, a smile of encouragement. Hannah had let go of her problem and she had given it to God. How many of us have what it takes to do that? You and I can be an Eli to somebody else. We can encourage them to pray. We can pray for them. We can pray with them. We can turn their grumpy face into a smiling face. We can bless them with the words of Jehovah God. Well, if you know the story, you know verse 20. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Hannah became a mother. Happy Mother's Day, Hannah. And she named her baby. Did you realize that in biblical days, it was primarily the woman's job to give a name to the baby, not the father's? It was the woman's job. And it was a wonderful privilege for her to be able to do that because it had great significance. Names in biblical days always had meaning. And Hannah named her baby Samuel, which in the Hebrew means heard of God. That is one of the greatest promises in the scripture. God hears you. Heard of God. He hears you. And do you realize that Samuel is probably the author of this book, 1 Samuel? We are probably reading an autobiography, and he is telling the story of his mother and what happened to him through the faith of his mother. I like that. Now listen to this. When Samuel was just 1 year old, Elkanah went back to Jerusalem and visited with Eli, and he went on a pilgrimage of sacrifice and worship. But Hannah stayed home nursing her baby. That is one of the greatest gifts God gives to you women. It's a gift of total intimacy that we men can never understand. We can never appreciate as much as you do. And even during this intimacy, Hannah said to Elkanah in verse 22, after the boy is weaned, "I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there forever." Remember, she had just taken a vow to that effect. She had said in verse 11, "Lord, if you will give me a baby, I will in turn give him back to you for all of the days of his life." And now this is astounding to me because there was a Mosaic law that would have allowed Hannah to get out of this pledge. All she had to do was pay 5 shekels and she would have been released from this vow. That's just 2 ounces of silver and she could have redeemed the whole thing and taken the easy way out. But she did not. She fulfilled her vow. How many of us have what it takes? Hannah nursed Samuel for 3 years. And then we read in verse 24, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And they brought the boy to Eli the priest. And Hannah said to Eli, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child. And the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." That was an enormous step. How many of us have what it takes to do something like that? This is a true story. It happened during the Holocaust. It's a story about Solomon Rosenberg. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, his 2 sons, and both of his parents were arrested and taken to a concentration camp. The rules were very simple. If you work, you live. If you're too weak to work, you die. Rosenberg watched as his father and his mother were taken away to the gas chambers because they were too weak to work. And he knew that his younger son, David, was going to be next because David has always been a frail boy. Every evening when he came back into the barracks, he would scan the group and look for the faces of his family. And every evening when he would find his family, they would huddle together and rejoice that God had given them another day of life together. One evening he came back and he scanned the crowd and he did not see those faces. And he searched frantically until eventually he found his older son, Joshua, over in a corner sitting on the floor and weeping and praying. And he came up to Joshua and he said, "Joshua, tell me it is not so." And Joshua said, "It's true, Dad. Today, David was not strong enough to work, and they took him away." And Solomon Rosenberg said, "Where is your mother?" And he said, "Dad, David was so frightened and was crying so much that Mom took his hand and she walked out with him." How many of us have what it takes? Do we have what it takes to be a mother like that? 1 Samuel 1:28, Hannah came to Eli and presented her son Samuel and said, "So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Who worshipped the Lord there? Samuel. Little Samuel. He was just 3 years old. And who nurtured him and taught him about the Lord? His mother, Hannah. Elkanah is not mentioned in that process at all. Only his mother, Hannah, is mentioned. It reminds me of the testimony of Susanna Wesley in the 1700s. She had 17 children. Oy vey! 17 children. And it says that she prayed for all 17 of her children every day. And she was known to pull her apron over her head so as not to be distracted while she prayed for her children. And out of her prayers came two of the giants of Christian history, John and Charles Wesley. There is enormous power in the prayer of a godly woman. How many of us have what it takes? Samuel grew up. Little Samuel grew up and he became the first prophet of Israel, and he became the chief advisor for the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. And the story has a very happy ending. I love happy endings. 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, and each year Hannah, his mom, made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and Hannah, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one that she prayed for and she gave to the Lord." And then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Happy Mother's Day, Hannah! Thank you, Hannah, for showing us the power of commitment to Almighty God, for showing us the power of persistent prayer, for showing us what it means to give an offering that is sacrificial, for showing us the kind of love that only a mother can show. Thank you, Hannah. Let's pray. Father God, we have made a commitment to you, and I pray that you will help us to walk and live in that commitment and to be strong in that commitment. And Lord, we have confessed to you today that we need you every hour. May we be persistent in our prayers. And Lord, help us to learn to give sacrificially to your kingdom, that others may know the love and the grace, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we thank you for the kind of love we've discussed here today, we thank you even more for your love. And we pray that you will make us lovers of one another, lovers of this world, and above all, lovers of you, Almighty God. Bless our homes. Bless all the fathers and mothers here, and all the children here. In Jesus' name, amen.